Welcome to Live Daf, your online Daf Yomi Shir.
Shalom Aleichem and welcome back to today's Daf Hayomi. Sanhedrin Mem Hei, we begin on the Mishnah on Mem Dalet Amud Beis, three lines off the bottom. Haya Rochek, Beis HaSkila Arba Amos. So the condemned fellow going to be taken for Skila, punishment, is four Amos away from the Beis HaSkila, that structure which they use for Skila. So what do we do there? Mafshitin Oishes Begadav, they remove his garments, they disrobe him, which, as we're going to see in the Gemara, hastens his death, which makes it quicker. Now, we cover up the places where you need to cover. So by a man, they cover in the front, the area in the front, which needs to be covered. By a woman, they cover up both sides of the gender area. Divrei Rabbi Yehuda. So according to Rabbi Yehuda, whether it's an Isha or an Isha, they disrobe them in preparation for the Skila. No, this halacha is specific to a man, ha'ish. Only a man, niskal oraim, has skila. Undressed, ve'ina isha, niskal sarum, by a woman, it's not done in this way. Tan Rabbana, we learned in Brisa, likewise, ha'ish mechasen oisoi, by a man, we cover up one section in the front, perik echad melefano, by a woman, ve'isha, front and back, shnei prakim ben mefaneo, ben lecharea, as we learned in the Mishnah, and the reason is b'nei kula erva, because both areas are considered inappropriate for exposure. Divrei Rabbi Yehuda. So point to Rabbi Yehuda again. They're undressed, but we do this, slight coverage. Again, this is only specific to a man. Ha'ish niskal oraim ve'eno isha, but a woman is not niskeles, does not have skila aruma, undressed. Ma'ita ma'idu rabbanan. Why do rabbanan make that distinction between a man and a woman? Amar Kro, the pasuk says, v'rog mo'isa, we stone him. Now, ma'ya'isa, why only him? Ilema, do you mean to say, if a woman commits a sin, a transgression, which should generate sekila, we don't do skila on her, we don't stone her? We have a pasuk that the skila punishment theoretically applies equally to men and women. So how could you exempt women from skila? Elamai oisoi, what then? Does the pasuk mean when it says him? By him, by a man, it's done without the ksus, without the garments. Ha, but by a woman, it's b'ksusa with her clothing. So that's the shita l'chachamim, Rabbi Doimer. No, the word oisai is simply coming to imply that when we stone anybody, man or woman, it's oisai b'leksusai, it's the person without his garments. Loishna isha, whether it's a man or a woman, it doesn't matter. And Rashi explains, because once we don't have an exception, once we don't have a miut, then we just apply the general rule that men and women are equal in terms of all types of punishments in the Torah. Hishva ha-kosav ish la-isha v'chol miso ish v'ter. Okay, so bottom line, skila is applied undressed to a man. What about a woman? Chachamim say, no. Rabbi Yehuda says yes. Asks the Gemara. Remember, do you mean to say the Rabbanon chayshei lirhura? We're assuming that the Rabbanon are concerned about exposing the woman to the public, which might generate improper thoughts and notions. And that's why the Chachamim say, by a woman, we leave it as is. And Taisus explains, Taisus says, because really, the psukim that we just quoted aren't really clear, proper sources. They're more like, hints, which are based on, previous notions. Rabbanan have their perspective, and they sort of, apply to the pasuk and learn the pasuk likewise. And Rabbi Yehuda has his approach, and likewise studied, the pesukim accordingly. So it's based on a previous notion, which is hirhur, this question of whether or not it generates improper thoughts, whether that's a concern. Apparently, Rabbanan are chayshish, and therefore they say leave her dressed. For Rabbi Yehuda, on the other hand, lo chayish, leave her hirhur, doesn't seem to be concerned about hirhur, and therefore he doesn't hesitate to disrobe her. The problem is we have a similar halacha elsewhere regarding a soita, a woman who's strayed from her husband, who's going to be served the mei soita to drink. And in that context, we find that seemingly the Rabbi Yehuda and the Rabbanan reverse their opinions regarding the concern about hirhur. V'if chashamin elohu. They seem to have reversed their opinions. It's not, we have a Mishnah, HaKoyin, so the Koyin grabs hold of the Soita's clothing, He yanks her begadim. Im nikru nikru, if they tore, simply fine. Im nifrumu, if they got shredded, nifrumu, okay, so be it. Ashem galis libas, he yanks until he uncovers her lave, her heart. V'soyser sahara, and he disrupts her hairdo. Rubida Aymer, hold it. Be careful about hirhur, about generating improper thoughts. Don't expose her to that extent. Im hoya libo no, if she had a pleasant looking chest area, lo yohaya magalev, he wouldn't expose that area. Im hoya sahara no, if she had nice hair, lo yohaya soyser, he wouldn't disrupt that either. So clearly Rubida is concerned, and Rabbanan not. Says Gemara, first we're going to resolve the apparent contradiction within Rabbi Yehuda. Amar Rabba, Hasam Hainu Taima. You know why? In that case, Rabbi Yehuda is concerned about Hirhur, because she might survive the ordeal. Look, they're serving her the water. If she was really innocent, I mean, she acted inappropriately, of course, but if she didn't actually sin with this man, she's going to survive the ordeal. She's going to walk out. And then she'll be a target for the local, you know, young Kehanim to start up with, to attack her. And we want to avoid that. Because in that case, the Yisaita might leave the Bezin scot-free, might survive the ordeal. We want to avoid a situation where the young Kehanim might take to her. Therefore, Bida says, take care not to expose her in a way which might generate problems. But in our case, in our Gemara Sanhedrin, she's being stoned. How can I survive? So exposing her carries no risk. Asks the Gemara, hold it. V'chitema, perhaps, by exposing this woman to the public, it might generate inclinations which might lead to interaction with other, improper interaction with other women because of this experience. Says the Gemara, that's not a concern. Amar Rabba Gmiri, we have it as a fact. Ein yetzer hara. Shoilet, the yetzer hara does not attempt a person. Ela b'misha in avroya is only pertaining to somebody that he's familiar with, that he saw, that he knows. So yeah, this woman per se, but she's not going to be an issue because she's not going to survive. There's no issue at all. So we have resolved the apparent contradiction within Rabbi Yehuda. When it comes to Misa of Skila, no concern about exposure because there's nobody to interact with. Whereas by Soita, there may be somebody after the fact. She may have survived the ordeal, so we have to be careful to protect her. Amrav, okay. The Rabbi Yehuda, Ad Rabbi Yehuda Kash. So you seem to be concerned with the stira within Rabbi Yehuda and you resolved it. Okay, Kash. The Rabbanan, what about the apparent contradiction within the Rabbanan? Wasn't that also a Kash to deal with? Because remember, Rabbanan in our story, in Sanhedrin, say, don't expose the woman. Whereas by Soita, they seem not to be concerned. So what about that? Inconsistency. Seeming inconsistency. Elam Rabbah says, Rabbah, I'll give you a new twist. The Rabbi Yehuda, Ad Rabbi Yehuda Kashe. Kedushan, regarding the two Rabbi Yehudas, we've already resolved that, no problem, great. The Rabbanan, Ami Lekashe. Regarding the two Rabbanans, we're going to answer it like this. Amar of Kra. True, perhaps there's a concern about Hirur, but over there, by Soita, we have a pasuk which says, go ahead and do it. V'nivasru kalam noshim. Warn them, put all women on notice, deter them. V'loi sa'aseno kizimascheno. So you embarrass her. You expose her to create a deterrent, to prevent other women from following her lead. So you have to do it. There's no way out. Hacha, but in our story of Skila, you don't have to resort to embarrassing her and exposing her, because just putting her to death is a very traumatic event, which generates a very widespread deterrent. Hacha, ein lecha yisru gadol zeh, you don't have a greater deterrent than this. Okay, so perhaps we should apply two aspects of distress, kill her and embarrass her. No. Amar Nachum, Amar Avua. Look, up to a point. Amar Kro. Even a condemned person, is still L'Reacha Kamoicha, and you have to be sensitive. Broir L'Misa Yafe. Choose for him or for her a pleasant death, meaning minimize the damage rather than maximizing it. And therefore, we avoid exposing her and embarrassing her. And this is specific to a woman, because she has that greater sensitivity and is prone to embarrassment. Asks the Gemara, okay, so you've explained why the Rabbanan keep the woman dressed by Sekila. But Rabbi Yehuda requires undressing. What about V'avta Rech Kamaicha? Lema the Rav Nachman Tanoihi, shall we propose that this concept proposed by Rav Nachman, that even a person in this situation is deserving of our love, of our sensitivity, is really up to a machlekes tanoim. Rabbi that apparently doesn't accept it, really? No, not necessarily. The kuli alma islud Rav Nachman. Perhaps everybody adopts Rav Nachman in concept. Still and all, says Rabbi Yehuda, disrobe her. You know why? Because it's going to hasten, it's going to quicken the death process. So a person prefers minimizing physical pain, even at the expense of enduring slight emotional discomfort of embarrassment. That's Rabbi Yehuda's approach. V'ocha v'ocha mifliki. Mar sovar, the Rabbanon say, no, keep her dressed. B'zyoyne d'inish. One's embarrassment, adifule, tfei, is more severe, is more critical, minicha d'gufei, over physical relief, meaning even though it's going to prolong the death process by staying dressed, that's more important than getting undressed and hastening that process. Umar sabar, whereas Abida holds, no. Better do it quicker, even though it's going to involve some level of embarrassment. Nicha dugufei, other bzyoin a person prefers. Person is more sensitive to physical pain. And he'll endure some, he's willing to endure some emotional embarrassment, emotional discomfort, like getting undressed in public, in order to hasten the death. That's a contributor by the woman, she's niskal, disrobed. Okay, so we had a Mishnah. Skila is done without begadim by a man. What about by a woman? Rav Chacham say, leave it on. Rabbi Yehuda says off, and we explain the reasons for it. So this platform from which they would throw off the condemned was two stories, so to speak, two stories high. Now Rashi explains, Shnei Kaimis, the Parsha explains, Shnei Kaimis, a person's height, right, is about 6-7 feet, so it's double the person's height. That's what it means. Echad min Eidim, doich vel mosnam, so you would stand on top, tied up, and they would throw him off. Who would throw him off? One of the Eidim, one of the witnesses who incriminated this person, who was physically involved in the death process, he would shove him off by pushing his from the back on his thighs. Nebach Alibo, if he drops down on his face down on his heart, they would flip him face up, hefchel mosnav, on his thighs, because they would want to, this way they can stone him from the top and hasten his death. Vimeisbo, now let's say this actual fall brought about his death. Vimeisbo yotza, so that's it, done. We don't have to stone him. Vimla, but otherwise, Hasheni, the second witness, Noitilis Ha'evin, he takes his big stone, Noitilis Ha'evin, and tosses it on his heart. Imeisba, if he died through that, Yatza, okay. If you love, otherwise, stage three is Rigimasi B'chol Yisrael, anybody around there, all the spectators would stone him. Shinamar Yad Eidim Tirbay Rishon Elam. You say first the Eidim come and try to kill him. Yad Kolam Achroin, and afterwards the crowd follows. Tana, we learned in the Braisa, we come in Shalai. So the platform was two stories high, plus two heights, twice the height of a person, plus his own height, because he was pushed off in a standing position. So his head was basically three heights off the ground. Harikan Sholish asks the Gemara, Umi Bo'inan Kulihai, why do we need such a high area? Just 10 tefachim is enough to kill a person. Raminu, we have a Mishnah, a Braisa in Bava Kama. That if a person digs a pit, a ditch, in-ground structure, in a public area, he's responsible for anything that happens. So when he dies, he's responsible. And the Mishnah explains that really it doesn't matter what configuration it is, if it's a pit, even if it's right a weird shape, as long as it's 10 tefach deep, like a bar, which is 10 tefach deep, right? Because the Pasuk speaks about the bar killing. So 10 tefach is the minimum to kill. Ma bar shehu kedei lahomis asor tefachim. Afkol, likewise, any structure, any pit, any hole, kedei lahomis asor tefachim needs to be at least 10 tefach deep with the ability to kill. 10 tefach, that's all you need. You don't need three stories. Amar Rav Nachman, Amar Rav, like we said before. Amar Kro, the Pasuk says, hasten his death. Make it expedient. V'avtarech kamecha, brer l'misa yafa, do it a quick, hasty death. And, the higher it is, the bigger the drop, the quicker the death. Yach, if that's the case, take him up to Empire State Building. Take him up really high. Why don't we? Shundamimba, because then he falls down, the body breaks apart, which is disrespectful. So we chose some sort of medium. How do we know that we push him off a high area? This is a pasuk back by Har Sinai. If you touch the mountain, it says, Kisakal yisaka, ayara yiyara, and yara means hashlacha, tossing down. Umanayish beskila, how do we know that stoning is also applicable? Tamalame is sakal. Pasuk says, sakal yisakal, ayara yiyara. Umanayish beskila ubedchi, how do we know that at times we do both? If one doesn't do the job, tamalame is sakal yisakal, ayara yiyara. Both are components. Umanayish yemes bedchi yatsa, how do we know that if he died right after falling, that's okay, you don't have to stone him? Tamalame oy, yara yiyara, the pasuk adds the word oy, one or the other, you don't necessarily have to have both. Asks the Gemara, Minayin, Sha'af L'Dereskin, how do we know that this process applies L'Deres as well, so a skila which happens later on, post Matan Torah, involves the skila, involves the Dechia, being pushed off, Tamalaymar, Sokel Yisokel, the extra, the Yud speaks of future. This process will be applied in the future as well to a person who's Chayav skila. Vimlav, if he didn't die at first, Eid Hasheni, Noitel Seven, the second eight takes the stone. Only one eight grabs the second stone. Noitel, only one man does it. Atani, we have a brisa which indicates that both eight of them are involved in tossing that stone. Reb Shimon ben Elazar Omer, Evan Hayisasham, Masir Shnei Bnei Adam. There was a big stone which needed to be carried by two people. So you see, two people have to be involved. And the brisa continues. Noitel, he takes it. Noitel, leave it and tosses it on his heart. Imeisba, if he died, yatsa. So it's not a small stone; it's a big two-man stone. And says the Gemara with Tameich, let me ask you a question. Tikshlach Higufa, the brisa that you've just quoted, seems to be inconsistent within itself, because you start with Masr Shnei Adam, indicating that's a big stone meant for two people. And then you switch to a single person, night to love, and I said, no, Liboy. So how's that? Ella must be like this. Dimadilo Badi Chaveri. You're right, it's a heavy stone. He picks it up with his friend. But then only one aid actually drops it. Vashadilo Iyu, only he drops it. Kiyechad Tesi Mirazi. So that it comes with strength, because one man, throws something by himself, he's not being pushed around by he's focused, he can aim properly and throw it with power. It never happened that they needed the crowd to participate in stoning. He already died. Does Mishnah really mean to say that you have to? It requires, then we add more. But practically, factually, it never happened. Amar Ma, we don't have a brisa. Evan Hoysa, there was one stone there. And apparently, it seems, they reused the same stone. Vatani, we learned in a brisa, we don't do that. It's a one-time use. Achas Evan Shnitzkalba, whether it's the stone used for skila, Achas Eitz Shnitzl Olav, whether it's the pole used to hang the condemned, Vechad Saif Shnerakbay, whether it's the sword used to behead him, Vechad Sudar Shnechakbay, or it's the material used to strangle the person who was deserving of chenek. So all these materials, all these paraphernalia, kula nikbar imoy. We learn from a pasuk, kakbar tikbarenu, that all these materials are buried together with the person who was killed. So how could the Mishnah, how could the Brisa indicate that it was the same stone being used over and over again, right? Answers the Gemara Tricha, you're right. It must be speaking the Matakni Umaisi Achrin Chilufayu. You're right. Once they kill a person, they take the stone and bury it. They establish, they prepared another stone for next time. And that stone is the stone that the Brisa is referring to. That stone asks the Gemara one more point. You just said that Nikbarn Imoy, all these materials are buried with him in his grave. Atani went to the Brisa. We don't bury it in his grave. What does Imoy mean? Imoy between Sasai, in his vicinity, nearby, within four Amos, but not in the actual grave. Here comes an interesting halacha. Coming off the fact that the Mishnah speaks about, describes the Edom physically being involved and initiating his death, says Shmuel, Amar Shmuel, what follows is that Nikta Yada Edom, if the Edom's hands, were removed, chopped off, they no longer have a hand to use, potter, then this fellow goes free. You know why? Because the pasuk requires the Edom to be physically involved in killing him. My timer, the Bo'ino Yada Edom. Tia Barishan Lamisa. But lucky, you don't have it. If you can't fulfill the words of the pasuk to the T, then you can't proceed. Asks the Gemara El Miata. If that's the case, how about Edom Gidman Demikara? Suppose initially, when the Edom came to the Bezin to incriminate this person, they were already, at that point, without hands. Hachanami de psilu. Do you mean to say that disqualified from serving as aid? And that's inconceivable. Answers the Gemara, no, that's not the issue. That's certainly not a problem. Shani Hossam, Damakro Yada Edom, Shoisakvar. You see, the point is the Pasuk says, the hand of the Edom, those original Edom, right, shall proceed and, you know, do the skila. So we need to have the same hand as they had way back when they started the process. Now, if they started the process that without hands, okay, so whatever they have left on their hand area, that's enough. Meaning, they cannot have undergone a physical change. But if this is how they were to begin with, then that's okay. Meisvei, here comes Akasha. On Shmuel, who says that we need literally the same, you know, aid them with their hands. Let's say two aid them walk into a bezin, and they testify, they get up and say, you know what, we're going to testify that in a different court, right, this person, Beish Pliny, Shenigmar Dinim Bezin Pliny, his verdict was already issued in the other court, Pliny, Pliny, Edom. We know that Reuven and Shimon over there were his Edom. We're testifying that he's Chayiv Misa. Raise your heart, we proceed and we kill him. Even though we don't have the original Edom. But we need them. We need them to initiate his death. Tergum Shmuel Bein and Edom. Says Shmuel, you know what? You're right, the mission speaking, that these Edom today are really the original Edom who started the process. And in fact, they're here, they're present, and they can proceed. Asks the Gemara on Shmuel's concept. Do we really need to follow the Pasuk to the T? When the Pasuk is simply sort of employing a descriptive reference to the story. Okay, so does it mean that it literally has to be followed to the T? Right? There's no plan B. Right? So if the Edom have no hands, that's it, we're done. Atani, we learned in a brisa regarding somebody who killed. What's his punishment? Saif, right? We behead him. Moishu mas hamaka, so the person who struck, who killed, he's going to be put to death. That only works if we can actually apply the proper death penalty. But let's say it doesn't work. He's running away and we can't. Suppose you can't apply the proper punishment. Go ahead and use plan B. Shoot him. Do whatever you need to do to kill. Is that true? Moisumas, double lashon tells you, any which way you do it, you're good. So apparently, even though you're not following the literal words of the pasuk, you're still okay? Well, Shani Hasan Makra, Moisumas. We've just had a reason for it. The pasuk says, Moisumas, to indicate plan B. Okay, let's derive from there. Just like, you know, you can alternate over there, perhaps you can alternate in our story as well. No, you can't learn from there. Mishum Nahavar Ritzeach, we go to Adam, because we find two instances in the Torah where a plan B is provided. Number one is Ritzeach, and number two is Goyel Hadam. We're going to see in a minute. Shnei Ksuv and Ban Keach, these are two psukim teaching us the same concept. And when we have that, we cannot export the concept elsewhere. V'chol Shnei Ksuv and Ban Keach, you can't learn from there, because otherwise, if you can learn from it, the Torah would just say it once. And then we can learn and apply it everywhere. It says it twice to indicate it's limited to these two cases. What are these two cases? Ritzeach, that's what we just said. Hadam Aron, we can kill him any which way. What about Goyel Hadam? Mayi, what is that? The Sani we learned in the Brisa. Goyel Hadam, Yom, it's a Ritzeach. A person kills inadvertently, by accident. He must quickly run to a city of refuge. Suppose he's found outside the city. The relative of the Goyel Hadam who's avenging the victim can kill him. Mitzvah Goyel Hadam, it's a mitzvah for him to do that. Umanayin Shim Ein LeGoyel, let's say the victim has no relative to promote his case. Shebezn mamidin legoil. How do we know that the bezn will appoint a person and consider him the goil? Shenamar pigoy boy mukalmakam beva pigoy boy strikes the murderer, even if he's not actually a goil adam, rather an appointed goil adam. So clearly, literal implementation is not necessary. We find, as we find in these two cases. Amalei makshisha bederachiz d'ravashi. Umilo beinim krokid echsevna. You're wondering, do we really need to follow the psukim to the T and all these sort of, descriptive elements have to be actually carried out. But, right, you're wondering. But now the question is, really not? Is that not necessary? But tonight we learned in a Mishnah regarding a Ben Seder Rumeira. This week's parasha, right? They have a son who's straying. And again, he goes through the process and the parents bring him. And the Mishnah says, guess what? It's a very specific type of setting there. Ha'ya'echad mehem gidim. If one of the parents was gidim, missing a hand, or ilim, or mute, or chigir, or missing a foot, or limping, or sumo, or blind, or cherish, or deaf, he gets off the hook. He can't become a seder. You know why? Because we have a long pasuk, which says, with tafsu, they grab him. They have to have hands, legidman, as opposed to people without hands. But you say, take them out of the city, to the bezin, legidman, they have to walk. If they're without feet, then they're disqualified. Vamru, they speak up, the parents do, right? Le'imun, as opposed to mute parents. But Nenu said, look, he's our son, le'isuman, not blind. And Nenu shemebe koylenu, he's not listening to us. We try to set him straight. Apparently, they have the ability to hear his responses. Le'cherishim, as opposed to deaf people. So apparently these are preconditions, these are absolutes. My time, apparently, because when the Torah speaks about them doing this and that, you have to conform. And if you're missing any of these abilities, you're not qualified. Well, says the word law, Yishani Hasam Dekuli Krok Yiseiru. That's an exception, because that entire pasuk is really extra. As Rashi explains, we could have gone without the pasuk, could have just said they take him out to the city, to the, you know. So all those words, all those descriptive elements are really extra to tell you that in fact they are really critical, as opposed to our story of it, the Edom of Shmuel of Skilo. We don't have an extra pasuk for that. Over there, Kuli Kro Yiseiru, Tashmai comes another riot to this point regarding Ir HaNedachas, entire city worshipping Avodah Zarah. We burn down everything, we take all their possessions, collect it into the Rechoiv HaIr, into the city square, and we destroy it. Tashmai Ein LaRechoiv, suppose the city has no city square. Ein nasis ir nedachas, that's it, they get off the hook. You can't do ir nedachas because it's critical to have a rechoiv as per the pasuk's description of event. The Rabbi Shmuel, Rabbi Kiva Aymer, you know what? You're right. You require a rechoiv, but let's build it today. Rabbi Kiva Aymer ain't la rechoiv, has no rechoiv, oisin la rechoiv, we make a rechoiv today. Now, clearly, I can only plead, there's no discussion here regarding the need to have a rechoiv. The question just is whether we can bring in a new rechoiv. Elo Mar Sava Ruchayv Adim Yikar Binyan. Rabbi Shmuel says it has to be the initial Ruchayv there from, you know, the start, and therefore you can't build it today. Umar Savar, Rabbi Kiva holds, you know what? You could bring it in today. Ruchayv Adim Hashta Nami, even a new Ruchayv built today, Kid Mikar Adami, is considered like a pre-existing Ruchayv. Okay, so that's a technical question, but everybody seems to hold of the Kuli Alma. Binyan Kroy Kiluchsiv, you have to implement the Pasuk as is. If the Pasuk speaks about Ruchayv, it's critical. So they went, you know what? Actually, this whole question is really machlekes tanoim. Tanoim, as we find by a mitzvah, part of the purification process entails the kohen putting the blood of the korban on his lobe, on his thumb, right? Let's say he has no earlobe, he has no thumb. What do we do then? Is he stuck, or do we just improvise? It's not. Ein loy boyin yad, boyin regel, oizen imanus. He has no thumb. He has no big toe on his foot. He has no right ear. Ein loy taroy lamas. This fellow is stuck. He cannot experience the Tahara process at all. That's it. Because we have to implement the Pasuk as it says. Rabbi Lezer Omer, you know what? Plan B, Noisin al Makoimai, the Pasuk speaking, if he has an earlobe, if he has a thumb, if he doesn't, Noisin al Makoimai Biyotze, take the material, place it, you know, near where the lobe should be, where the thumb should be, and you're done. Apparently, we improvise, plan B is acceptable. Rabbi Shimon Omer, likewise, Noisin al Smaila Biyotze, put on the left lobe and the left thumb, and you're good. So clearly Shmuel's concept, right? Shmuel says that if the Edom are missing their hands today, it's done. We can't do a skila because the pasuk speaks about the Edom's hand. You can't improvise. No plan B. There's no alternative route. But now we find that it's machlekes tanoim. All the best to you and hatzlacha rabbah.